Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there's a little trick they do at concerts. It always kind of cracks me up because, you know, wherever you go, you see this. They'll do things like say, "Is there anybody from Denver here this evening?" Well, it's in Denver. And everybody, "Ah, yeah." So let's try that. "Is there anybody from Fort Collins this evening?" This morning. This morning, yes, yes. "Is there any Pharisees in the audience? A shout out to you." There's the issue. I wanted to point that out. There are none existing anymore directly, right? As a noun, the Pharisees are gone. And this story that we have today is about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And the tax collectors are still with us. Thank you, Jesus. So let's talk about why the Pharisees have gone the way of the dodo bird, and we still have tax collectors with us. Let's talk about this story for just a moment, because I think this parable that Jesus shares with us is actually a great way to look at our lives in Christ and how we can live them out. Jesus is talking to us, I believe, when he points out these Pharisees. The Pharisees, though, they weren't bad guys. And that's sometimes when we view this thing in our 21st century world, we can look at them and just say, the Pharisees equal bad according to Scripture. Not really true. See, the Pharisees, they were us in the Scripture. They were the people on the inside. And once in a while, actually quite often, Jesus was nudging them to remind themselves about the people on the outside. There are no Pharisees anymore, but there is a word that I wish we had more often in our language. It's Pharisaic. It's an adjective. You're acting very Pharisaic. And I think each and every one of us can do this so often in our lives when we look and say, "I, as a Christian, have the answers here. I wish you did, but you don't." You see how that comes across to our world that's so in need of God's love. When you share that message of God's love, when you reflect light like that, how far does that light travel? You know, I'm a Pharisee too. I know how to live out my life. I think I have a pretty good idea of the Christian faith, but I so often am failing at living it out. I was thinking about church basketball. A couple of you played that with me over the years, way back when. And for those of you who don't know, we have a church league out here in the community. And it's well known in the players in there that the church league is a little rougher than the city league. I'm serious. And I remember one time playing in that game and trying to get around a corner, and the ref was looking the other way, and the guy kind of just pushed me down and went over here. And I'm thinking to myself, and you call yourself a Christian. And you know what I thought of right when I said that? We're playing a competitive game of basketball. Who's being the less Christian one? The person in the moment who shoves somebody down because they're trying to go after the ball, or the person who's sitting on their back calling out a person's faith as you're playing a game? I had that moment where I didn't say it out loud, by the way. Praise the Lord. But I had that moment where I realized I'm the one here who has a problem. Yeah, he could learn a little bit of etiquette in sports, but I never had that competitive edge at that level anyways. So Pharisaic, or Phariseeism, is something that is alive and well. It comes from us, those who think they know the right way. So then the question becomes, looking at this story and realizing that the tax collector, though that who in Jesus' world would be the person who would be thought of to not know the right way. The tax collector, who in their world, by the way, yeah, they were pretty corrupt. What the Roman government would say is, this is your section, you need to give me this much money at the end of the month in taxes. And then that tax collector would be like, so anything else I collect is mine? All right, $5,000 each. And that's what tax collectors did. They had a way of extorting more money. But in this story, Jesus has the Pharisee, who in their world was the good guy, and the tax collector, who in their world was the bad guy, and says, nah, right now that Pharisee is the one who's looking poorly at our world and reflecting poorly on the light of our faith. How do we proceed? Well, Golda Meir, former Israeli prime minister, she said this, which I thought was the way to go, but I think this isn't a good point to make. She says, you know, don't be humble. You aren't that great. Of course, I think humility is something that we are called to, and I think that that's what the story pulls us to, but I think Golda Meir's statement is also a good one for us to ponder. Because if we just say it's about being humble, then that's fake too. We can turn our lives into this show for everybody else. And that's precisely what Jesus is arguing against. We are both saint and sinner. We have this gift of love and light, and we are broken. How do we walk? We walk aware of that. We walk aware of the reality that each and every moment in our life, we are as likely to be hypocrites as saints. And when we live our life in that manner, we then can look at the person that in a moment might be judged as unworthy, but realize instead of casting them out, Jesus reached out. And looking at our own lives, perhaps we can humble ourselves to that point where we can look at the person that we're struggling with and say, that person too is a child of God. I want to close by returning to my children's sermon. Yeah, so often the light of Christ reflects through us. I put my candle out, I shouldn't have. So I'll go to this candle for a moment. The light of Christ that reflects through us, you know, as I think about that, so often we're not that perfect mirror. I thought about bringing a mirror and being able to show the light like that. But that would imply that somehow I'm so shiny that you can just see Jesus right through me. More often, we're all kind of tarnished pieces of metal, broken up, not quite right, can't see Jesus perfectly through me. But I'm aware that each and every one of us have gifts of God, and that when we stay in our life with Christ Jesus, that light does reflect upon us. And perhaps it doesn't reflect perfectly. But when we model that imperfect reflection of God's light, we invite somebody else who realizes, hey, that person over there, they're not perfect. And hey, God loves them. So maybe I, a tax collector, can be loved too. And maybe I, a divorced dad, can be loved too. And maybe I, who have been scorned by so many, can be loved too. We look at our world today with politics and everything else. Let's talk about how we can bring that hope to the world. Sometimes people think the world's falling apart. I think in the moments when the world is falling apart is the moments when everybody can realize how much we need Christ. Amen.